Greetings, blessings in oneness, and welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio. I am Eve Kerr, your host, and please welcome my co-host this week, Anthony Coco. Welcome.
Hello, Eve, and hello, listeners. I'm very happy to be back this week. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you back. Thanks so much for joining me. And hello to everyone listening. I want to just give a brief gratitude shout out to everyone listening, and especially to BBS for their wonderful service and all their hard work, to Don, Doug, Deborah, Lily, and all the crew who I haven't met yet. You're all wonderful and spectacular, and I love doing the broadcast on this station. It's great. And to all the listeners, I've gotten some really, really amazing feedback, especially from last week's show. And last week's show was pretty personal for me, and this week is going to be even a little more personal, so stay tuned for that. I just want to give gratitude to my mom. She's an amazing lady, and she's so supportive and encouraging for everything that I do, and she's so happy that I'm, you know, feeling fulfilled, you know, finally doing what I want to do with the broadcasts, and she's really happy, so that's great. And the Mount Shasta community, it's a really amazing place to live. If you've never visited, and you felt called to be here just to visit, come see the mountain, come see the town. You'd probably really love it. And, to all my friends, and especially there's a really lovely lady who lives here, and, I'm just going to use her initials, SF. Over here in Mount Shasta. She's a really wonderful lady, and I just want to thank her especially for her encouragement and support just recently. So, and I thank you, Anthony. You're an amazing co-host, a wonderful friend, and I'm just so grateful for all God life.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Eva. You've been a great friend to me as well, and we've learned a lot together, and we've come a long way in a very short time.
This is true. Yeah. So thank you for everyone for all your amazing feedback. And that was really encouraging for me, because we're going to go much deeper this week too. The shift keeps going. It doesn't seem to stop. The waves keep coming in and rolling out, and the waves, they get bigger. So, well, I'd like to begin with a great invocation. We haven't had that in a while, and I know I do have the recording of it, which, you know I can play. I've just kind of been going right into it. But if you'd like to do it live this week, Anthony, I think that not only me, but everyone would appreciate that.
Okay. Here we go. Point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light will come to may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ must return to Earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out to make it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
Thank you, Anthony. Wow, that was beautiful, as always. You know, it's interesting. I had a little revelation while that was going on. You know, you sing the great invocation. It's let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. And it's like I've just been reflecting on how mankind has just kind of been using power. And, you know, without light, without love. And but now, you know, with this, with the shift, you know, and the consciousness changing, it's the light. The light has actually always been here, but not everything has been done in love. So, you know, when we go into this application of light, it's really, you know, it's an application of love too. It's kind of one and the same. It really is more like love is the fulfillment of the plan of light.
Indeed.
And, you know, and this week, you know, we're gonna talk about what does it take to be fully present. And that really means not to ignore what is. And it's, you know, at first it's making an effort to being with what is, no matter what's going on around you. If you can be comfortable with it and you can be at peace with what is, then you're on the right track, or you're at least on track. But to going to being with what is effortlessly, that does take work. So, you know, and we were just talking, you know, before the show a little bit on some of these, and we get some really nice revelations even before, you know, we come on. And you were talking about getting used to being neutral and then comfortable with it. And then
Comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes, exactly. Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I can tell you, just last night I had this really interesting experience where there was, you know, there was a group of us, and one of them was really triggered. And no matter what any of us, you know, tried to do to help this person to, you know, an understanding of what is, what's going on, it was just consistent reaction. And I sat there calm as a lake, and I didn't feel any charge. I was not upset. The energy of this person didn't affect me. I felt very immune. And I was like, wow. You know, I was just like, yeah, it's fine. It's so fine. I was so comfortable with, you know, there was a neutrality feeling, but I was also, you know, in my heart about it too. So, you know, I was back and forth. I was in between neutral and going, you know, it's really, you know, I'd turn to other people and we'd smile and we'd laugh and it was okay. It was like we were all letting it be okay though.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of holding space for this person who wasn't really ready to see, you know, what was going on. But it does take work to be with what is when those things come up and you have a charge and you're sitting there and you're going, ugh. Boy, this is, you know, it's one thing to react to it. It's another thing to sit there and go, okay, and acknowledge what's going on and just be patient with it and just go, okay, it's okay. I acknowledge what this is. Before we go any further, though, I want to go into this because this past week has been really paramount for me. I've been able to clear six patterns this week. Six patterns thanks to my beautiful friend and co-host, Anthony, I've made magnificent progress just by our expression sessions and as well the Psychology of Vision newsletter that you sent me. That gets a double kudos from me because that helped me clear two ancestral patterns just this weekend. And yeah. I'm really, it's astounding, really. And one of the things that I've learned and some of the revelations that Saint Germain's given me is that, first of all, in order to go higher, you must go deeper.
Indeed.
And you can't go deeper unless you're really willing to look and see, you know, test yourself, see if you really are as clear as you think you are. When I started the broadcast, you know, I'm in a space where I've worked on myself as consciously as possible because, you know, in the subconscious, we don't know what's going on there unless we have something that shows up to reflect what's going on there. So if we're just on our own, you know, doing our own thing, we don't really see those patterns unless we're in community or with friends who can actually mirror something to us to get us to see that, oh, the field isn't clear. Here's something to look at. You know, of course, it doesn't feel that way in the moment. It's really like, blah, what did you say? Blah. And yep. You're sitting there going, what? Wait a minute. Weren't we just doing this nice thing? And all of a sudden there's, my goodness, where did that come from? You know, those kind of out of the blue things like, oh, my goodness.
Was that what you call the Shen pearl, is it?
Yeah, the reactivity, yeah. You know, and we invite that in, I think we invite it in subconsciously or unconsciously. We're going to go into those levels of the mind too, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more of that. But what I want to share quickly is that at first, you know, Saint Germain guided me. I'd been doing my own personal work for years and letting go and doing the forgiveness work, doing the spiritual conversations, doing Ho'oponopono and doing all this work. And then when I found the Ascended Master stuff and they, you know, he gave me, it was pointing out calls from Ascended Master instruction and all the, you know, some of the green books that he had guided me to. You know, I started formulating this customized application where I could make calls and charge myself with more light. I would invoke more light from the presence, from my own individual presence, you know, and this is ever forthcoming because of the source. You know, the source is eternal. So it's like, you know, you can't sit there and invoke yourself out of light. You know, you can only keep invoking more and invoking more and invoking more, and it keeps coming and coming and coming. So the more you do that, though, the revelation I was given is that, you know, you build, and I think this is really kind of a common understanding, but it's kind of a revelation for me, though, because it's a kind of a twofold revelation. Because first, you're like building a spiritual armor around you, like an invisible spiritual armor. And that's a force field. You know, you're invoking light and you're asking for that light to be sustained around you. You do that, you know, with your clearing of cords, your tube of light, and, you know, the simple tools that you use to just keep yourself, you know, free of the discord that's around you in the atmosphere. The second fold activity of this is that when you are clear of these things, it gives you the opportunity to have peace within you so that you can see whatever else is going on within you that you need to clear. So it gives you an opportunity to look deeper. But many times, you know, we're not conscious of what's there. And that's why community is really important. So if we can be okay with what's around us and with others around us, you know, stuff is going to come up. If we can be willing to go that much deeper, that means that those things can come up much easier, much faster. We can release them much more quickly, and we won't be projecting them outward anymore to what's around us. And, well, hold on, because, you know, that reflection keeps showing up. And if we're not willing to go deeper and discover what that is, if we just keep looking at the other like, oh, it's their problem. It's, well, I can't, you know, talk to her or talk to him anymore because of, you know, this attitude that I keep getting all the time. It's actually the problem. It's a perception problem that lies within you. It's not within them. It's within you. And that's something that it took me a while to recognize that. And I went, wow, really? You know, because I'd send out my blessings. I would think, Oh, wow. Okay, so I'll just send my blessings to them and, you know, hold space for them and hold the Immaculate Concept. But I would still not be able to really interact with them. And I always wondered why that was. I'm like, are these blessings not working? It's not that. It's that I had stuff that they were reflecting to me that I couldn't see at the time. That is like, oh, as soon as I recognize that I have a pattern going on that they're showing me, as soon as I show up and take responsibility for it and say, oh, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing that. And that, you know, I had a pattern running. That was a pattern because it was showing up consistently. This experience would happen here and here and here and here. And it was not with the same person. It was over and over. It's like, why does this keep showing up? That's a pattern. So we're going to go into that. But I wanted to share that quickly because that's really, really important. The application works in such a way that you build the spiritual armor of light around you. You get clear. You know, you get clear of what's, you know, on the surface activity, you know, you clear from all the cords that have been attached to you and you can clear out of what's not yours, so to speak, and what just keeps attaching to you. And then when you're clear of that, then you can work on the deeper things that are the subconscious patterns that have been running that we've taken on from past embodiments. I mean, I came in with a pattern running from a past embodiment that I was projecting out to all the kids in my neighborhood. And you helped me discover that one.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It is fun.
But it's, you know, it's such a revelation when you discover it. It's like, wow, I was doing that? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I was doing that. So then, but when you recognize it, you can let it go and go, oh, okay, well, I don't have need for that. And just, you know, you apply the forgiveness or whatever tool it is. It's really simple work. The unsimple work, or what seems unsimple or not simple, is the, you know, facing the charge, facing the energy that comes up and goes, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to feel that. So that's the hard part. The rest is easy, I think. Well, how do you feel about that? And what, you know, I'd like to get into this because you've got this amazing article that you wrote, The Levels of Mind Explained. And there are 7 levels to that. And I know you have tools on A Course in Miracles that you've been working with. Mm-hmm. And we've had some great insights too before we started. And, you know, it's being with what is uncomfortable. You know, when your reaction, that's the ego, non-reaction is oneness.
Exactly.
So yeah. do you want to take it away and go into some of that? Because the patterns, I think, are really important because that's a recent discovery for me. Yeah. I didn't know that they were there. And this is a big way. Since I've cleared out, I think that this is one of the reasons why I was so placid last night was that I've cleared out a lot of stuff that I didn't even know I had running. Because and I could see that if I didn't have, you know, I didn't have all that cleared out, I may have reacted a bit. I may have been feeling that energy and feeling charges off of what was going on.
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you've just demonstrated and explained it really well. You begin to understand that there are deeper patterns running, first of all. I mean, a lot of people are not even aware of these deeper patterns. And then there is a kind of a resistance that comes up. And one of the problems is with a lot of people, especially when they start touching on these things, it is accepting that there is a problem. Until you can acknowledge that it's going on and you're willing to be wrong about what you think, about, you know, what you believe and what you know, the work can't really get done. So there has to be an acknowledgement and an acceptance and a willingness to look at these patterns and
you
to
said,
be honest.
Sorry, sorry to interrupt, but you just said something so important there, and I just want to I just want to share this. You said unless you're willing to be wrong about what you think,
what
is
you think
right,
you think, and what you think you know about life, including our beliefs about spirituality, because it depends where we're coming from. Because a lot of our spirituality is mixed in with the ego. A lot of the time, we try to compensate, or we try to integrate parts of the ego and our worldly beliefs together, but it doesn't really work because it's still coming from fear. It's a compromise. So there's only two things going on, really, as it says in A Course in Miracles. We're either coming from oneness and truth and love, or we're coming from fear. which is the ego, fear-based. If you can get clear on that, then everything else is easy to work on. It's just a case of practice and having the confidence and the courage and learning the tools to do the work. It always comes down to that. And then it enables you then to go deeper as things come up.
Yes, and I noticed that too. As soon as I started working with these patterns and I saw one of the first things come up in one of our sessions, actually, things started. And here's, you know, I feel that this is important, and G's encouraging me to use, you know, my very deep personal experiences. It's so humbling, but it's refreshing. Mm-hmm. I'm really open to sharing all of this, actually. It's, you know, what do we say in community? No people pleasing and no private thoughts. Yeah. So here to, you know, to the community of, you know, Freedom's Flame Radio, all the listeners of, you know, whoever's on globally, I appreciate you and I love you all, and I'm grateful for that community. So I'm just going to, you know, speak it freely. But what I had to do, and this was a dogma that I actually had, and you've helped me with it, and actually Sufjan also was instrumental in bringing this up for me. Because every now and then I'll hear both of you swear, and I go, okay, I'm just with that. I'm just being with that. But I know that, you know, there's a higher way of expressing, but I've not really allowed, okay, so myself to have, you know, those moments where I'm feeling really raw and I want to go, ah, you know, boy, this sucks. And I've kind of suppressed or repressed those, you know, the tendency to use, you know, any swear words. And I feel like I've always felt like I was doing the right thing by having, you know, this application of light where to know here, you know, you express these qualities and this and that. But yeah, that's right and that's true. But unless you're really cleared out and you have these emotions, then, you know, there's this kind of rawness there that comes through sometimes. So what this is and what G is guiding me to share about this is that in the IM teachings, there is there's an understanding about destructive activity. And when the energy is acted upon in such a way where it's gone so far in the destructive nature, where it's really, really hard to turn it around, sometimes it's better to just let it go full force and burn itself out. And this is an understanding that I think is largely overlooked. And I believe that this applies not only to outer world conditions, because sometimes the earth has to shake things off, you know, we see that in the outer world sometimes. That's the result of, you know, the energy is accumulating, you know, whatever anger is in the air, whatever hatred, you know, those lower level emotions, if we don't take responsibility for them and you know, acknowledge them and clear them, it comes out. We see it in the weather. We see it, you know, in the energies around us. Yeah. So that's why it's really important to acknowledge and take responsibility for it, because the more we do that, you know, so if we have a raw moment and we need to, you know, use a swear word, I can't tell you how many I've used this week. So we'll just leave that between me and G. G has the counter there, but I know that he's not keeping count either. But it's just the fact that I needed to open up and let this go. Yeah. And just once and for all right, enough is enough, really. And when I did, I let go and I saw the pattern. I mean, but I had to actually open up and say, you know, that really sucks and I'm tired of this and blah, blah, blah. It was after that I was able to actually see the pattern.
Yeah.
You know, after allowing myself to express something that, you know, I have felt like, well, that's not very godlike, you know, I just go, you know what, I'm just going to let myself do that and feel this way and, you know, let go of whatever it is, because I'm not seeing it or whatever it is, you know, it's not right in front of me. It's not clear. Yeah. So I have to get the rest of that energy kind of out of the way and you know, so I could see what's underneath it. Because what's going on is there's the pattern, or there's the cause, right? And then there's all these feelings around it, like this anger and stuff built up on it. So what it is, it's this release of these feelings that are around the pattern and things that have happened. So I think that's important. And as long as you do it in a safe container, you know, invite the presence in, invite the masters in, invite the angels in around you, and have them, you know, surround you with violet flame or whatever, and then just, you know, just allow yourself to, you know, give yourself permission to speak that level of whatever it is that you're feeling about it, so that you could just let it go. Because, you know, in a way, it's like you need to kind of hear it, you need to express it, because it's like you haven't been listened to in that way, or you've felt ignored about it, or, you know, that there's something going on there where it's repressed. And it's like, once you let it go, the energy clears, and then you can see the pattern and go, wow, okay. And then you can really start working on the forgiveness and everything. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I show up, I take responsibility of that energy, and I go, okay, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't see any other way I could do that. And I do feel bad afterward. I go, God, I don't want to misuse, you know, any energy. I don't want to miscreate anything. But at the same time, I have to give permission to myself to allow myself to heal. So, you know, it's kind of, it's a sticky thing there. It's, you don't want to misuse anything, but you have to allow whatever, you know, was destructive there, like, let it come out and be, you know, held and transmuted.
That's the important point, is allowing yourself, first of all, to have that safe space. Mm-hmm. So either with yourself, or if you're working with others, you know, you have to have an understanding that there is a safe space, that you feel able to express what's going on, and an understanding that, you know, whatever you're expressing, you either express it or you repress it, which doesn't help, because it's just putting the lid on the top, and the energy is just going to build and build. And again, it's either going to explode or whatever. So it's about allowing it to be released in an appropriate way, with understanding, with honesty and self-acceptance. And when you feel guilty afterwards, then that is because we've been taught to feel guilty. Realizing that guilt is another one of those lower level emotions which are coming up from the ego, and it doesn't help. So recognize you're feeling guilty. You say, oh, I'm feeling guilty. That's okay. I understand. And just accept that as well, not without judgment.
Yeah, that's really important, the guilt. And the you've talked about it a lot this week, and also that's in the psychology of vision. That has a lot to do with this. Can you go into that a bit? And because this is like the core pattern that is the underlying pattern. It's the cause for everyone's, I guess, if you will, their, you know, it's their core patterning, or the core pattern that has the conditioned program running.
Yeah. Guilt runs very, very deeply. It is one of the primal energies. I mean, Chuck Spedzano says there are 6 or 7 layers of guilt. I'm not sure of all of them, but I know that the primal layer is guilt. And apparently it was one of those energies that arose during what we call the belief in separation, or the fall. There was 2 things happened. There was a tremendous fear and terror came up, and a lot of guilt came up as well, because of our belief in separation from God. And the fear came up because we then had fear of retribution. So the ego basically created this world so that we could basically hide from God, basically, and to try and have this life of separation and have autonomy. But it created a whole series of negative emotions. Namely, at the root cause of the ego, there is fear. And basically, the ego and fear are running hand in hand. So everything coming from fear is coming from the ego, and it's going to have a negative charge. It also generates a lot of guilt. And the other thing is, as we know, it's all an illusion, because it's all based in concepts and beliefs and thoughts. So it's the belief in separation from oneness. So it's false. So everything coming from fear and the ego and guilt is false in any way, in any case.
this also constitutes the pattern of abandon.
Yeah, that came up as well.
Because we believe that because of that separation, that God abandoned us, or we abandoned God. It's kind of like a, you know, one and the same.
Yeah.
Because we are one, so it's like we've abandoned ourselves, you know, ourselves.
These patterns, they show up in our family patterns, especially with our parents. Our mother in the beginning, and then the father, they're the two closest. Because when we're children, our parents are like God to us, basically. So they're everything. They meet all our needs. You know, they're our models and everything. So every pattern that they've got running, positive or negative, we're going to take it on board. And then our siblings, they become the constellations in our family. And then the schools that we go to and the society we're in, it all, you know, it's all acted out in our environment and in our communities and in society and the world as a whole.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting, I want to share something about that. Because I just recognized he was pointing out to me. It's interesting the way he points these things out to me that I didn't know were going on with me at the time that it was happening, but he's given me the revelation. When we first started talking about that last week, I noticed that I had a resistance to actually looking at, my parents, you know. It was like an immediate, I don't want to go.
I was aware of it. It's okay.
Oh, you were? Okay, great.
We all have resistance in the beginning. I had my fair share of resistance until I actually got into the work. And then I started experiencing the joy of it because I could see how it was working, I was clearing out. I'd actually found something which actually works. That's what I love about it. That's why I've continued with the psychology of vision work and the Course in Miracles, because it works.
Yeah.
Consistently.
And the same with me and the Ascended Master teachings and application. These, the decrees and the calls and the charges and the work, I mean, it works. It's consistent. I've not found anything else that helps me to, you know, be who I am, you know, most authentically. However, you know, there are things that are complementary to it, like Ho'oponopono. You know, I was using that, and G was training me on advanced levels. Like, you can go into oneness with Ho'oponopono, you know. I am God, you are God, I love you, we are one.
Mm.
You know, this is, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I'm saying this to myself. I am God, you are God, I love you, and we are one. So there is nothing else. There is no other. There is only one, and there's no other. Well, but we tend to see everything else as other, but that's because of, you know, the appearance of the outer can be really strong. And that's why the Ascended Master application is so good, because it really teaches you about oneness. It really brings you to a place of oneness with your own God individuality, and that individuality, excuse me, is not separate. Not a separate individuality, but that the individual. Why can't I say that word?
Individuality.
So the individuality, you know, and I just recognized that the individual is the I. That's the I. There's no other. The individual actually represents the I, or the I represents the individual, and the M represents the God in action, God in me. God in me is. So it's I, the individual God in me, is one with everything, you know, to qualify that. So, but I think that's all really, really important. When you said how relaxed, you know, it's like, how relaxed can you be? This is the revelations G has given me. How relaxed can you be when you hear something about your parents? Or, you know, One of the biggest, most instrumental quotes that I was using to when I quit smoking, when I was working on, you know, inner peace, was it's a Chinese proverb. Tension is who you think you need to be. The relaxation is who you really are. And that's a really big deal for me, because if you can be relaxed, this is the comfort level. You know, if you can be relaxed with what's going on around you and you don't feel the tension, then, you know, you have a good level of peace there, no matter what's going on. But if you feel tension, you know, it could be that the outer, you know, you're sensitive, and it could be like, you know, when I was first doing my application, I was very, very sensitive and opening and feeling a lot of energies of the outer. And, you know, a lot of the activities that I was participating with, I was becoming more sensitive, and the activities were, they weren't resonating with me anymore. It was like I couldn't listen to certain music. It was starting to feel, you know, it just, it wasn't inspiring me. It wasn't, you know, giving me joy. It wasn't motivating me. So I had to, you know, start listening to different things. And I would just, you know, upgrade myself and my life and everything around me as I was doing it. You know, it felt natural to do this too.
Yeah, it does. It's like an outgrowing, as we talked about it before. It's like children outgrowing their toys and moving on.
Yes, exactly.
It's a natural progression, actually. If we try to force anything, then that's coming from the wrong place. It is a natural outgrowing.
Yes, precisely. And, it feels really in alignment for me to do that. But then I noticed later, you know, it's like so much of it drops away. It feels like, you know, your life really does change. It's a whole life change, this work. Yeah. I mean, it really is going from what you used to do. You know, like I lived in New York, and I worked in a law firm. You know, I thought about being a lawyer at one time. And I mean, that's a completely different life. That's like a completely separate, it feels like separate anyway. It feels like a past life at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I know I'm in the same embodiment here, but it feels like a past life where, you know, it's so far removed from what, you know, who I am today, what I do now, that it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't resonate anymore. And, you know, it's all great. But the thing is, when you feel good and you're on your application, you're doing your work, the work doesn't stop. There are levels of ascension. I mean, you can just keep going higher and higher. And it really does depend on your willingness. How deep do you want to go? How much do you want to clear out? How much do you want to be free? Really? This is what it takes to be free. It takes that willingness, you know, to be wrong about what you think. Because you, as you say, you know, and as we know, the ego would rather be right than be happy.
Absolutely.
You know, how can you, you can't be happy if you're not free. If you don't feel free and relaxed and comfortable with life, then what's the point? You know, we're not here to, you know, feel tension all the time and to be upset. That's not what God wants.
Well, we're here to be living our purpose.
Right. And you mentioned something to me I want to bring up. You said that our happiness is what is God's plan for us.
Yeah.
And I found that really, you know, it's like, well, yeah. You know, it's like I knew that, but how many of us give ourselves permission to do that?
Yeah. I think what we're being asked to do is to commit, basically, to a new way of living, a new way of being, from what we've been used to, and it's a transition that takes place. And, you know, there's within our subconscious patterning or conditioning, if you like, there's a lot of resistance. And there's fear there, and there's everything that we've been used to. Yet we still want to do our God's work. We still want to be on purpose. We still want to be happy. And the more we see that light, the more we experience the oneness, which is the source, which is the power and everything that we need, which will help us to transcend. It's the greatest resource, is the source itself, to make that transition into oneness. And that's all that's really going on. We're just changing from one old way of living and being and thinking to a completely new way, which seems new, but is actually, when we sort of go into it, we just start remembering that we've just forgotten the truth. We've forgotten who we are. And then when we're in it, we realize it is so easy and natural to be that. The thing that is unnatural is the resistance that we experience to it, which comes from our fear and conditioning that this world has taught us very, very well. And we're all wonderful students for learning it. but now it's time to unlearn it. That's what it says in the Course in Miracles. It's an unlearning process so that we can remember who we are and our natural talents and abilities of human and divine potential naturally emerges and starts showing up, and the gifts of the Spirit starts to become outpictured. And it's like we've said before, it becomes an ongoing revelation.
Yeah. You know, I have to commend you because I really admire when you speak, these gems come out, and I've been writing them down. I've been jotting them down on my page. I'm going to read them back to you, okay? The best resource is the source itself.
Yes.
I think that's just brilliant.
It's wonderful.
And, yeah. I mean, you know, and I have these little revelations too. I love these little things, these little sayings that you can just, you know, keep with you that really remind you. I think that's one of probably the simplest ways when you're in the moment and you're having a trigger or you're having a charge, you're having some kind of uncomfortable feeling. It's like, what can I reach for? Oh, what can I reach for? What's, you know, okay, I'm feeling this and okay, what do I do? Oh God, I'm feeling this. What do I do? You know, it's like the thing about it is the feeling is so strong in the moment sometimes where you kind of just draw a blank and it's like, where are my tools? Where did they go? Oh my goodness, what do I do? Oh my goodness, what do I do? I need my tools. And this I know because it's happened to me plenty of times, but these are really great. I mean, okay, so tension is what you think you need to be. Relaxation is who you are, you know, and what you said is, you know, the tension is unnatural. The joy is natural. So if you can remember things like this, you know, put them, you know, write them down on a little postie. I always recommend that. Put it down on a little postie, put it by your computer. You know, energy is not personal. I am one with who I am with, you know, and there is only one of us here, you know, and it's okay. You know, peace, be still. That's one of my favorites. You know, I just go, peace, be still. And I hold this visual of the earth being held by, you know, by the Divine Mother, like just a beautiful nurturing picture. I hold that. I think that's important too, to hold a visual of something peaceful while you're saying something to go, okay, this is not real. You know, I know what this is. This is reaction and I'm not the reaction. You know, the ego reacts, you know, oneness is non-reactive. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, these are ways to tell that, you know, you've got the reactivity or the Shenpa. Pema Chodron talks about Shenpa, and I think there's an article that she wrote about it if anyone's interested in looking it up. I found it very insightful. And, you know, it's like, okay, here it is. You know, what am I going to do with this? And there's all these tools available. But another one that see, this is why also the application is really useful when you have the Ascended Master stuff and the tools that they've given. In the Tube of Light, I've extended my Tube of Light. I've customized it, and he had me insert a couple of sayings in there. And what I do is when I say these things in the application every day, what it does is it actually, you know, it embeds it in that spiritual armor around me. And it's in the force field. So it's like, okay, you know, here I am in the moment and something's going on. It helps me to remember that, you know, whatever, if I can just be still, then I'll have the tool necessary. But it's really kind of remembering to just be still with whatever is right in that moment. Just like, don't do anything. Just be as still as possible and like be patient. Be patient with it and just kind of let it be, like kind of try to get comfortable, at least neutral, try to get neutral with the charge and just be with it and be patient and then go, okay, now I can look for a tool because you're not really paying attention to the feeling of the charge and how intense the discomfort is. You're trying to focus on being patient and just, you know, getting to a place where you're neutral with it and going, okay, I can do this. I can get through this. It's okay. You know, do the self-dialogue. And then go into a tool. One of the tools, and I want to read this. It's from my application. It's, and I realized this too today. He gave me this revelation that I've inserted, you know, several different things in my application to to denote the compassion, because I'm also a bodhisattva. So, you know, the bodhisattva tendencies that I have to hold compassion and for all life and for, you know, to love every part of life, you know, even the things that don't look nice, you know, it's every part, everything is one. It just needs that love. But it's getting past the feeling of, you know, these charges and clearing the patterns so that we can really be open and be sensitive and be the empathic beings that we really are and feel our way through life. And this is how we navigate. This is how we communicate. This is how we are with each other. You know, everything is through the feeling. And if we're not really, really, truly 100% clear all the time, we can't really be who we are 100% of the time, you know, authentically. So this is one of the tools that he gave me, and it's a really great thing to use right in the moment. And it's, you know, it's in my force field. So it goes, beloved Mighty I Am Presence, shut the door of my being and world against all that appears less than light right now and seal it forever. I command, because you command the presence, right? So I command thee to instantly perfect all that ever attempts to open it with the violet flame of mercy hue, loving it all free, or loving them all free to their eternal victory in the light now and forever. And I say that three times. And then I say, there is only God, the beloved mighty I Am Presence and perfect action in myself and everyone everywhere at present, now and forever, eternally self-sustained. All life is God life in form, as form, in the atmosphere, in the earth, as the earth. And all matter is the beloved presence, substance, light, fulfilling its own divine plan right now. So that's a really kind of a big deal. That gets you right into, wow, okay. So there is nothing. Okay.
Could I just ask a question? When you're doing that that invocation, what do you call it, decree or invocation?
Well, it's you're invoking light, but it is called a decree in this sense.
Decree,
so
yeah.
You're actually calling to the presence, but in the form of a long document, I guess it kind of constitutes it as a decree.
Yeah, my question is, where is your attention or your perception while you're doing the decree? Because that's really important, is where your attention is, because where your attention goes is where your energy flows. So what's happening in your mind when you're saying the decree? Because a lot of people will just repeat affirmations and think they've done it, but there's more to it than that, just repeating an affirmation or a decree.
That's an excellent point. And like I said before, when I say, you know, when I say peace, be still, that's part of my application too. I have all these things going through me, you know, and I go, you know, if there is anything, you know, like I know there's nothing there, but I'm speaking to the potential that right. if anything should happen, then this is what I would like. So if something is in the atmosphere that I don't know is there that attempts to come at me, this is what I want to happen, and I want the energy transmuted and loved free.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not paying attention to something that might or might not be there. I'm just saying that, okay, I know that there is a potential for that to be there, but I'm not focusing on it. This is what I want if. So it's like, you know, it's like algebra. If X, then Y.
So are you kind of seeing the oneness in your mind and experiencing it while you're saying it? What is your mind actually doing? You're saying this application, but there's something going on in your mind, in your awareness. Are you connected to oneness?
Yeah. I'm connected
so
to my presence.
You're seeing oneness and in your presence. Yeah. That's the important bit. That's the resource.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the first thing that I do is I don't just say that. That's like that's getting into probably about a quarter. That's just going into a quarter of the application. That's one of the first things that I say. But that I have a long invocation. So I call the first thing I do is, beloved Mighty I Am Presence, I call to you and all of my beloved ascended master angelic and cosmic being sponsors known and unbeknownst to me at this time, including but not limited to. And then I run off like 100 of them. Either 100 or 50 or something, you know, and I call in, you know, all the ascended masters and lady masters from all the activities who sponsor and support me and my work. I call in everybody whom I know, you know, and I feel aligned with and who I know I'm working with. And even those I don't know that I'm working with, I call them in too, you know. So, and I call in all their twin flames, their divine compliments, you know, everyone who I can. Who I can think of.
you're really practiced at it. So, you know, you're an adept at it. So for you, it's like almost instantaneously. You don't think about these things. But for somebody who's new, my feeling is they need to understand what to do with their attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's absolutely necessary. And I'm grateful for you bringing up that point.
A lot of people might repeat affirmations and decrees and things like that, and then they wonder why they don't work.
Yeah, because you have to have an intention in the first place, and then you have to hold a visual. You know, you don't have to, but, you know, it's helpful. It's helpful to have some kind of image in your mind of what you want to picture or of the outcome, you know, because you could just allow it to be open and just to receive, you know, a divine image. You can ask for that, like, you know, ask your presence to give you, you know, an image of something that you can hold while you're doing this. If you can't really think of anything or if you're feeling like, well, I don't want to kind of limit it, you know, maybe someone's in that kind of, you know, where it's not coming to them, you know, immediately, just ask the presence, you know, give me something that I can work with these affirmations that I can hold that will be simple for me to, you know, to bring in, to hold, to visualize while I'm doing this. It won't be too elaborate. It won't be too, you know, won't be distracting. It won't take me off into a silent meditation where I'll nod off, you know, because I can have some pretty strong imagery sometimes. But, you know, and as it kind of also, as you do this, the imagery also just kind of comes right into if your mind is clear and focused. So, but in the first place, when you're doing an invocation, you know, it's just good to hold the intention and just to bring them in and feel love in your heart. That's the best thing, because the very next thing that I do is clear all the cords. So I clear all etheric cords, thought forms, and anything that's been attached to me, because sometimes thought forms can kind of hang around in the atmosphere and project images at you. So when you clear all that stuff out, then the mind starts to open a little more, you know, and it's clear for the divine visions to come in and anchor more. So if that makes sense. And then and then I do a violet flame blaze, and I do it, you know, first I do a cosmic blue lightning and blue flame, a protection around me. And then I bring the violet fire in. And then I do the tube of light, and then I do firewalls around the tube of light. And then I do, I call the cyclopia to charge me with the cosmic power of sight. So I, you know, I work on the third eye. There's a whole bunch of stuff I do. There's tons of stuff. And it takes me a full hour to do all of them. And I always feel my energy is like really prime and top, you know, when I get to do that full hour. Sometimes I go the hour and a half, because there are points where I can go into silent meditation with different things, especially the part where I say, peace, be still. I just sit there and I go, peace, be still. And I hold this image and I notice how everything, you know, I have the window open. Everything gets really quiet around me. Like, you know, even birds, and, you know, it's just, they stop chirping. It's like everything kind of falls to a hush. As I'm doing it. And I notice that, and I always feel, but I also feel the peace coming through me. So it's, I know that it's coming through me and around me, because I'm feeling really, really just so serene. And also there's a greater sense of joy within me when I bring this element of peace in so strongly. And I'm holding that vision, you know, this, it's, I guess like the Divine Mother holding the earth. And I think I sent it out on one of my emails at one point, but it's a beautiful image. Anyway, we're full on here. And if you want to hold off on responding for a moment, it's almost 2:00, and I'd like to maybe take a 5-minute pause, if that's all right with you, Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have a song we can play.
Cool.
Let's find out what we have available. I think we can do that one. Well, that has just got to be about one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Who is it?
It's called Ready to Fly by 2002, and it's from their new album called Believe. And I featured a few of their songs from that album recently in past few shows. And that one just, it really takes me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm listening to it. It's saying, you know, I'm ready to be finally free. Follow my inspiration. You know, they say so much, you know, follow your bliss, follow. I feel that when, you know, I'm really inspired, it's when I'm really in the flow. And when I'm in the flow is when I'm really feeling free. And mm-hmm. I'm feeling authentic. I'm really feeling my presence very, you know, anchored. I'm, you know, in that oneness. I'm feeling that. It's when I feel uninspired that there's something going on there. And I go, I wonder what's going on. That's a signal that's been a signal for me. And I've recognized it lately thanks to another lady who's over here in Mount Shasta, who I hope she'll be a guest one of these days. She has some really great innate wisdom, divine feminine wisdom to share. And I think we'll have a show one of these days about some of these topics. But it's about, you know, taking a step back and just breathing and just, you know, being into who you are. So it's not like, you know, it's divine plan, it's divine plan, it's divine plan, it's fulfillment. But there has to be a pause also for you to breathe in between, you know, because it's like the tide. It doesn't just keep coming in and coming in and coming in without going out. You know, yeah. It comes in and then it goes out and then comes in and then it goes out. It's like breathe in and breathe out. So there's a, you know, there's a time for the activity. It rolls up on the shore and it goes blah, 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 bubbles everywhere. And it makes nice, pretty, you know, pretty activity there. And then it rolls out. It goes, you know, it recedes out. And it's perfect. It's a perfect flow, though. It's, you know, it has its own time, you know, where it's a timeless, it's a cycle, but it's a timeless cycle where it flows in and then it flows out. And, you know, it's okay for us to, you know, divine plan, divine plan, divine plan, and fulfill, and okay, and it's great and wonderful. And now, okay, let's, you know, breathe and, you know, just be with what is and be present. It's like we don't take enough time to be present. There's a lot of, you know, activity and we're doing. And it's great to feel that accomplishment and that victory. But I've learned in my own experience that it actually takes time for that fulfillment to be sustained because it's not, you know, one activity after the other, after the other, after the other. Eventually, it like will be that because it won't be, you know, we won't be tired, you know, doing that. As we invoke more light, it becomes more effortless to do these things. So but as we're building that, we still have to take time to pause and be. And that's one of the things that I've just kind of been reminded of recently.
Yeah. Yep, indeed.
So pausing and being, you know, going into the levels of mind so we can kind of see where we are with things. You know, and one of the things that G has given me, and I'm sure that you have revelations for this and great insights, Anthony, but I'm going to share this really quickly. If there's any part of life that you are uncomfortable with, start where it is the strongest charge or reaction or discomfort and take it from there. That's one of the things that G is, you know, in my experience that I've been guided to do. Mm. You know, because it's like first we must look at what is the presence, you know, to really be present and be present with what is, be comfortable with what is. What is presence? And for me, and this is what I've been given, is, you know, this is what feels right. It feels natural. It's authenticity. It's being your natural self, you yeah. know, your true self. And this doesn't mean being who you think you are. It means being who you really are. And you have to relax into life to do this. Relax into your life. You have to relax into your life. You know, so it's not really like, okay, fulfillment, and then, you know, go to sleep and get up and then fulfillment. With, you know, if you're not relaxed into your life doing this, then the flow, it's probably going too fast, or it's too slow, or it's scattered or sporadic.
If you find yourself, you know, going too fast or too scattered or sporadic, then that's really an indication that you've slipped back into the ego and the duality thinking.
Okay, yeah, imbalance, right.
Yeah. So, no, it's very true. When your focus of attention is on the peace, on the oneness, and you're in that flow, that natural flow, then things just get done, and it's a joy to do things. It's when you slip out of that, when you start feeling the stress that this has got to be done or this has got to be done, then your mind has actually shifted, and it can be very, very subtle. The ego is very clever and very subtle at distracting. It's a master of distraction. It's a master of illusion, confusion, and delusion. Because it's been doing it a long time. So it's when you find that things start becoming uncomfortable and stressful, then that's a good indication that maybe you need to sort of take some time out and go back into your peace and oneness. And meditate if you need to, if that's what works for you.
That's wonderful. I have a question for you on this. Now, I know what I normally do when I feel, you know, oh, this has got to be done. Oh, I have some work over here. It's, you know, I need to do this. I need to get this done. You know, I think that I'm in the habit of saying that, and I just maybe need to upgrade my language.
Yeah.
To, you know, okay, so here's an activity that is on the itinerary to be accomplished. That would be a good way of saying it. Mm-hmm. But I think that language for me is part of the problem, because when we associate, like when I associate old words, you know, they don't match my vibration. You know, need is not something, like, I'm not coming from there. I know something, quote, needs to be done, but you know, there's got to be a higher way of bringing, you know, the frequency in for the words to match our vibration. So that, you know, because also the word need, you know, it's attached, you know, there's connotations and associations with, you know, tension there, that something needs to be done. There's, you know, obligation is there, and something coming out of a perception of lack, like I have a need because there's a lack.
Exactly.
There's a lack of fulfillment, so something needs to be done to fulfill that lack. And that's not really where I'm coming from, but the language is so, like, right there ingrained in us. So there's got to be a way to kind of extract these things and say, okay, this word is no longer applicable. And I know there's a great book called, I think it's called Conscious Language, The Logos of Now, and I'm pretty sure that's it, by Robert Tennyson Stevens. And a good friend of mine loaned me the book, and it's based on the I Am teachings and I Am principles, and it has I Am affirmations in it, and it does show you how to upgrade stuff. But it, you know, again, this is a lot of work. I started working with it, and I changed a lot of it, but I'm noticing a couple of words now and then that are like, oh, wow, and I just recognize, you know, if I use that word need, that really, it's really associating the lower energies that, you know, we're transmuting all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I have a question. It's like, how come the language just doesn't go with it? How come that doesn't get transmuted along with, you know, all the other energies? It's like we have to retrain ourselves on the language too. It really gets to be a bit, but, you know, we have to have the willingness to really upgrade everything.
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you upgrade your computer, you know, you upgrade everything, and, you know, it's, you don't leave anything out. You know, you don't leave one of your programs, like, you know, you upgrade everything. Maybe you have an old browser. Maybe it's time to upgrade to the new browser. It's like all these, you know, the flash drive is upgraded, and or the flash player, Adobe Flash Player, you know, and all these other things are upgraded. And then, but the browser is outdated. You don't leave the browser outdated if you're going to upgrade everything else, right? So that everything is working efficiently and everything matches.
Yeah, well, it is. It's about you're noticing, you're being mindful now, and you're noticing the effects of your language. And you're beginning to become aware of where your language is coming from. That is a very important step. It's first of all, where is your language coming from? But behind that is, What's the intention? You have the intention, and then you use this language, and you realize it's coming from a wrong place. It's coming from the a fear or a need. So it is about just, you know, momentarily being aware and readjusting your language.
So language can come from a pattern, correct?
It could come from a pattern, yeah. It could be indicating a pattern that's running, that maybe that pattern needs clearing out. If it's coming to your awareness, it could be an opportunity as well. So, I'm using this language. But this is an opportunity to change my language or to change a pattern. And then it just becomes kind of automatic. Once you start training your mind to do that, you know, the mindfulness becomes automatic. It's like everything else. In the beginning, it's always a bit difficult and it always seems a little bit overwhelming.
So can you talk a little bit about the seven levels of mind? Did you want to get into that?
Yes. Well, I just brought the page up and I thought, well, yeah, I could start reading it. I've written it, so I could read it. And if you want to stop me at any point, if something comes up, just mention it.
Well, how would you give like a brief description of what this is about, the levels of mind? Because it's so interesting. I find it fascinating. But for all our listeners, they're probably very interested on, you know, there are levels of mind. It's not just, you know, we don't have just one mind. Is there, there's levels to this mind. And, you know, is it like human mind, God mind? It's, you know, it's not just human consciousness and God consciousness. This is something different. This is something that is within that realm or between that realm, I guess.
Well, we're generally familiar with three levels of mind. We're generally familiar with the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the unconscious mind. Mm. But the unconscious mind itself is practically infinite because, it sort of goes on and it merges even into the oneness. But within those three levels of mind, there are seven levels that we use. There's seven basic levels. But like all these different levels, you know, they all have sub-levels. But there are, in mystic philosophy, they recognize seven basic levels that we all come from. And so do you want me to go straight into the mind, or do you want me to read what I've written on the mind levels?
I'm going to let you go ahead and navigate that, what feels right for you.
Okay, well, I wrote this article and it's called The Levels of Mind Explained. And it says, the mind to many seems like something complex and difficult to comprehend. However, in essence, it's really quite simple, as it has originated from the one source. Or rather, there is only one mind appearing as many. Many people are confused because they misidentify themselves with the body, feelings, thoughts, and beliefs. And this is where apparent complexity and confusion arises, because this world of thoughts and beliefs has endless seeming diversity of all kinds, and seen from this perspective can only lead to confusion, conflict, competition, overwhelm, etc., as well as all the myriad of things that cause stress. These activities in reality all divert the mind's attention from the only reality which exists, and that is now, the present moment. Two reasons many people go into distraction in the world of appearance is, one, because in the now is also where feeling is, pleasant and unpleasant, and two, the thought system in this world is built upon activity, production, and the values of materialism. However, in the oneness, which is the natural state of the mind, there is no form or matter as we are used to. It exists in perpetual state of potential presence and awareness. It also has the qualities of perfect peace, bliss, joy, and fullness. The world of form is what is regarded in Eastern philosophy as God's leela, or play. God creates out of joy and out of its own nature, and for no reason other than that. Why else would anyone want to manifest anything other than for pleasure or benefit? Think about why you strive for the things you pursue in life. Are they not for the benefit of enjoyment for yourself, your family, and your community? To manifest something in this world, you first have a desire. an idea that becomes a thought, which becomes a thought form, which becomes a feeling. Its successful manifestation depends on the amount of attention and feeling energy you give it, plus how much belief you have that it is attainable. This is where most people have problems, because as you think and believe, so will you receive. And many, if not most people, have all kinds of issues about what they can have due to self-worth, scarcity, competition, and all kinds of self-limiting beliefs. People generally believe that the world is out there, and therefore they have to go out to get what they believe they need to survive. This is seen as the prevailing thinking in this world. However, it does not make it true, just because the majority of the population might believe it is. This world is only the outer appearance, mirror, or manifestation of your inner world or inner reality. It shows up as you think and believe it is. And this reflection is also the seeming evidence or proof of what you believe, because as you believeth, so shall you see. If you are happy with what you have in life and the way things are going, fine. Keep doing what you're doing, if it is in alignment with your truth. If not, then maybe there is room for improvement. This requires changing your mind about what you believe about life and what you think you know. What you think you know is what you have been taught by the belief system of this world and is often described as the ego thought system. This thought system, having no basis in reality itself, is based on perceptions. Perceptions are based on form, and forms are changeable, and therefore have no real or lasting existence. Only oneness and formlessness is real and everlasting.
Anthony?
Yeah?
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
I have a question on something. When you went into the mirror, and this is really important because this is something that she gave to me, and it's actually an authentic question that came from me too. Mm-hmm. So, but this is about mirrors and reflecting and what you just said about form, the way the form shows up to let us see what's there. And if others are reflecting to us, mm-hmm. does that mean that they are clear? Or no. Are we showing up as part of our one self to bring to our attention what needs tending to?
Yes. The latter.
So that may make the mirror theory null and void. Well, because if it's coming from the one self, then it's just our one reflection. So maybe it is still a mirror, but it's not actually other. It's just because it seems like there's another there.
It seems like there's another
form.
There. But that's right. They're showing up as a mirror for us to see our inner reality. That doesn't mean to say that they don't have any issues.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get clear on.
Yeah, the world is showing up as we believe, so it shows up. It outpictures whatever we believe, it shows up.
And I think this is really important here too, because, you know, okay, so the light builds the armor, and you can clear lower energies that are not yours to be still and work on what is yours that you are projecting out onto others around you.
Yeah.
And once you clear this, you can express your authentic self living as an example to others and reflect clearly what others may be projecting onto us.
Mm.
We serve as the mirror, yet we are no longer reacting to their reaction.
Yeah.
So we clearly recognize that we are now the mirror if we have no charge on it. Do you feel that that is a correct understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one or two things happen. We're either projecting what's going on in our subconscious mind, which is the unhealed patterns, or we're actually connected with source, in which case we're actually extending or expanding.
There's a not very reflecting.
That's right. we're reflecting our love. Our love is blazing through us from oneness. Okay. So we're either projecting unconscious patterns, which is an actual projecting, which means it reflects back, or we're actually connected with source and extending our truth, which is constantly then expanding. It's like Sai Baba says, everything in the world comes and goes, but love comes and grows. It's very simple, but that's the understanding. If you're coming from your truth and your oneness, you're expanding and extending rather than projecting.
And this is the way to see what is the unreal to what is real. When you're projecting a pattern, it reflects back. It's not, but yeah, that's also going to grow if you don't deal with it.
Exactly. It doesn't go away. It's right. Like when we have the experience of, you know, these little molehills growing and they become a mountain, and then we have this, you know, this one thing that triggers off the whole thing. It'll keep coming back. If we're not seeing it, it seems like, you know, it is basically cause and effect, and it can seem like as if we're being punished for something, but it's not. It's life just trying to show us what is unhealed, what we need to become aware of so that we can release it. So we can look at it as an opportunity to heal and grow even more into oneness and light and joy by removing or allowing this problem or perception problem to be healed and removed. It's really quite simple, but it's being able to be clear on what's going on, where it's coming from. It took me, you know, quite a long time to get clear on this. But once I got it, I found it made the work so much easier.
And I think it's important that, you know, if anyone feels that way, you know, to just take that time, give yourself permission, take a day off, a week off, whatever you need, and just, you know, have, you know, go into your own inner sanctuary and just feel it out and just take a look at what's there. Because, you know, we can only go so high, you know, until we have to continue doing work. You know, we can invoke light, invoke light, invoke light. But if we're feeling uncomfortable, like I was feeling really uncomfortable during my application, going, what do I feel like? Because, and I was feeling like, well, I need to do it. You know, I need to keep doing it because this is what helps me.
Again. You see, you said need. Because what you were doing, you were trying to use a tool to get a result rather than just being with what was really going on and surrendering to it. There was an element of control. You slipped from allowing and being and surrendering into controlling and manipulating, trying to make something happen. Very, very subtle.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
This is
why people are trying to do things. Oh, well, I did this and I did that and it didn't work and it didn't work. Well, maybe it's a case of just being honest and surrendering and realizing that you're trying to control something, which is what we do. It's what the ego does. When we're in fear and when the ego, it needs to control everything. And it typically aims to control itself. The environment, people around us, to feel safe and to feel secure.
And but in my case, it's language, and I can see that pattern really clearly. And but what I did was I did exactly that. I was surrendering, and I said, okay, I'm just not going to do the application right now because, you know, I feel like this, you know, it's coming out of a place of need. I got to sit there. It's like I'm obligated. And I just didn't want to feel obligated anymore to do something. And I said, you know, I really miss, you know, gee, I could go for a walk in the morning, or I could, you know, maybe do something, just shift it up a little bit, change it up. Routine gets boring for me sometimes when it, you know. I like to do different things. And there's just, you know, if I'm going to be authentic in the moment, I have to allow what's true in the moment to come through. And what I've been feeling to do lately is I've been waking up, I've been doing these pranayama breaths, and they're really invigorating. And I've just, you know, you're supposed to do it on an empty stomach without, you know, no water, no food for about an hour. And so the best time to do it for me is when I wake up and like before bed. But I've been really successful at doing that, and it's like I feel like I'm not sitting up and just starting my application. You know, I'm sitting up and I'm doing, you know, the breath first, and then I'll, you know, go make my tea, and then I'll go into my application. Like I start to really relax into my day, And that's what I'm noticing that I need to do. Because I blaze so much sacred fire during the day in activity that, you know, this is helping to bring in balance and to anchor a good way for me to, you know, have the activity and also have time to just be. And that helps to actually, this is what is called, Saint Germain's telling me, this is what is called sustained harmony. Mm-hmm. This is an aspect of sustaining your harmony. It's being okay with, you know, being authentic in the moment, allowing that to be true, because, you know, everything comes from the presence. And if you're aligned, you're aligned, you know. If your attention is on the presence, then you're in alignment. It's going to come through. Because what you pay attention to, right, you give your power to. So you're giving your power to your presence. You are your presence. And as one, you can do anything. There's no limits. But it's also the allowance of allowing for what is true in the moment to come forth. And that means being out of your mind. So thank you for letting me ask that question. I think that was really important and letting me share that. Yeah. But I'd love for you to continue.
Okay.
We have a caller online too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, would you like to take this?
Well, do you mind? We can both take it. Let's see what it's coming
from. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. So let's take this caller. Hello, you are on live Freedom Flame Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful program and show today. I just had a question for Anthony about the ego and
have
the
first,
Course in Miracles. I'm getting the feeling that, I mean, could you extrapolate on how the Course looks at what the ego is? I'm getting the feeling like the ego is a bad thing to have.
Well, could you just tell us your name a moment, please?
Oh, my name is Deborah.
Oh, Deborah. Yeah, the ego. Well, we can't really say that the ego is a bad thing. It is what it is, really. It's just not helpful. The ego is something which was created out of our belief in separation. And it's the thought system which basically is operating in this world. The ego, because it's built on the belief in separation, it means it's built on an illusion. And because it's built on illusion, it has no reality of its own. So it needs us to invest in it, to believe in it, for it to continue its existence.
Who's the us that's believing in it?
The us, the real us, the I. The I am presence that we are is infinite power. It's energy from the source itself. Because in the Course in Miracles, we are described as the Son of God. And we are made in the image and likeness of God, so we have the same power and potential. But the ego is the deceived mind. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And when I was studying the Course in Miracles many years ago, this was the one thing that I was a little caught up in, because you need an ego to actually perform in life, to go out, get a job, work with your family, pay your taxes, whatnot. And yet there is another source that's deep inside of us that we can go beyond the ego. And I just never got what that source was. That you could actually tap into?
Well, the source, in the Course in Miracles, they call it the atonement, but it's basically, it's the oneness. It's the source. The source, as we said earlier, is the greatest resource. From the source, there was an answer to the ego, which was called the Holy Spirit, which
yes,
is like the
intermediary. Yes, I remember that.
Now, the intermediary, I mean, the Holy Spirit is that which is part of our own higher mind. And the reason we can deal with the ego is because we never really left oneness. You know, there is a part of us which is always receiving inspiration and intuition. You know, we have a conscience. And it's listening to develop a determination to listen to the truth, that voice which is what they call in the Course in Miracles, the right mind. And the ego is the loud voice. It's the demanding voice. It's the one that says, we must do this. We got to do that. Because it's all coming from fear. And the fear that we actually feel is not really the fear of the truth. It's not the fear of who we really are. It's the fear that we feel, which emanates from the ego's sense of insecurity. What we've done is we've identified with it. So whenever we identify with our ego, we're coming from fear and everything that we've been conditioned. When we'd identify with truth and oneness, we're in peace and harmony and things just flow. So it's always a constant choice. Am I coming from the ego or am I coming from my truth? And that is the battle. This is the split mind that we're all trying to heal. And it takes quite a lot of work, mind training and determination and willingness. Because the ego wants to be right. It has to be right about everything. It's not interested in happiness. It's about being right so that it can continue its existence.
May I share something? It's
yeah.
Just coming in, G's giving me a revelation on this. It's like a split personality where it's like there's a false personality and then there's the authentic I am.
Exactly.
So we're either coming from illusion or we're coming from truth. So how do we get to a place where we can actually see where we're coming from?
That takes quite a lot of mind training.
Mm-hmm. And peace.
Yeah. It's about monitoring yourself. We've been talking about it a lot, really. It's about monitoring yourself and being mindful about where you're coming from.
Yeah, and noticing what feelings are there.
And then noticing, this is where people around us are wonderful because they're mirrors for us. This is why it's important to have people around you who are on the same kind of level, who are doing the same kind of work, because it helps. You need to be in a safe environment to do this work, to have the confidence and the willingness to do it. I wouldn't recommend people trying to do this on their own. You know, we can do so much on our own. We can do a lot with guidance, but we need our fellow men to support us and to mirror us back so that when we do sort of, you know, have our outbursts or whatever, or we lose the plot, people are going to be understanding of what's going on.
And not trigger us further or push us. Yeah, push us away.
And if we're both triggered, then, you know, if we both understand that we've been triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take some space or some time out, and then we can look at ourselves, monitor. So it's a constant mindfulness and monitoring what's actually going on within us. And then it's a choice. Do you want to do something about it or not? And there's many, many choices. The Holy Spirit will work with you wherever you're at and what you believe and what you understand. And your progress will be tailor-made for you individually. For your character, your personality, your beliefs, and your pace, which is very important. The Holy Spirit is so respectful, you know, you could call it the Holy Spirit or the Christ consciousness or an ascended master or angels, whatever. It all comes, for me, it comes under the heading of the Holy Spirit.
Does that make sense? Is this helpful for you?
Yes, it actually is. Thank you for trying to explain that, and I think maybe
it.
A lot of listeners are going to be, you know, have their own questions on what exactly, what's the difference between an ego that's unaware and an ego that's very aware, a healthy ego that can go out into the world and do.
Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, the Course in Miracles describes, it says that we actually live in a hierarchy of illusions. We think that there are some things are good in this life and some things are bad. This is the ego's version of spirituality, and this is where people get confused. It's all part of the illusion. It's the ego's way of mixing spirituality and what we believe and trying to make it palatable for us. It's either one or the other. This is where I got confused myself for a long time. This is where I was doing the right things for the wrong reasons. I was going through the roles, going through the motions, but I never felt satisfied. I never felt fulfilled. Something didn't feel right. It's because I was trying to mix my spirituality with what I'd learned from in the world. It's called compromise. or the other word is we're trying to compensate for feelings of unhappiness, unworthiness. There is no compromise with the ego. It's either the ego or it's the truth. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And this is where people get confused.
And then, isn't compensation part of the human character?
Yes,
I mean, that's what makes us human, is we have compensation. We have to have that.
Well, we believe we have to have that because that's how it seems to have been all our lives. We've compensated to try and fit in. But what we're asking you to do now, or your higher self is asking you to move on so that you can start unlearning what you've learned. It's not something that you could probably do overnight. For most of us, we've been doing this for many years. It's a gradual letting go of what you believe or your limiting beliefs so that you can take on board more and more of your truth, which comes from oneness, which comes from who you really are, not who you think you are. The ego is made up with who you think you are and all the limiting beliefs that are associated with that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. It takes a bit of thinking about, because there is a lot of a resistance which comes along with the ego.
I would say, yeah. I think she's off. Thank you so much, Deborah, for calling in. You know, that brings up a really, really great point too, because there really is that's the split. You were talking about the split mind, but you also, I want to go back into, you said there is a part where you're taking on the right mind, or is it the right attitude that we take on, where we surrender and we go into that, you know, state of being where we are totally open and willing to look at whatever's there, you know, because we think we're clear. You know, we could have worked on ourselves and used all these tools, Course in Miracles, Ascended Master Teachings, wherever you're coming from, whatever kind of, you know, angelic teachings, cosmic teachings, whatever it is, galactic teachings, you know, there's so much out there, metaphysical teachings, psychology of vision. I mean, they're all wonderful tools. But like you said, we can only do so much on our own. And I've worked really, you know, individually, you know, I want to say I don't know, my language is falling away right now. So please forgive me. So I've had this solidarity, you know, kind of a way of approaching my path, where it's like, okay, I know I've got all this inner work to do, but the thing about it is I didn't have community around me who I felt safe with, who I could go down to the bookstore, or I can go down to, you know, this one to have tea and then spill. No, you know, that was just not going to happen. So I had a lot of issues. You know, I had a lot of forgiveness work, I had a lot of parental stuff, a lot of childhood stuff, a lot of blah, 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 you know, and I just took it all on and I went, okay, I'm not comfortable here. I'm not comfortable here. I'm not comfortable here. And stuff would just come up as I started doing this work. It would just come up and it would be always the strongest thing that was right in front of my face. Like, you know, the little, you know, the bully back in, you know, in grade school, you know, right in front of my face every day. I'm going, okay, I need to deal with this kid because, you know, obviously I need to, you know, understand what happened, forgive him, forgive myself for allowing it to happen and whatever, and just release it. So as I would do that work, I would notice, oh, wow, something was happening. It was transforming into a reconnection. Like I couldn't even believe, you know, the first time I started doing this, it's like I couldn't believe that I actually could feel friendly towards someone who I felt such, you know, a strong charge to, you know, judgment, resentment, you know, anger, all that stuff. It just dissolves. It totally disintegrates with the forgiveness, because forgiveness recognizes what your brother has done to you has not occurred.
Exactly. That is
and,
the point.
Yeah.
That is the point. That is so important, because in this world of illusion from the ego, we believe that there are separate individuals doing things to us. We're not recognizing the Christ in others because we're not recognizing the Christ in us. Therefore, we're seeing it looks as if somebody out there is doing it. And until we get to the realization that what appears to be out there is a hierarchy of illusions. What appears to be going on out there isn't really happening. It's all a projection of our own mind. Mm-hmm. This is a really difficult concept to understand in the beginning, and it takes a lot of training to get it. It took me a long time. You see, you can't really compromise with the ego. It's all illusion.
That's all the ego wants to do is compromise, actually. I was thinking about that when you were saying that.
Yeah, as long as we're compromising, we're caught up in duality. As long as we're trying to add a bit of light into the darkness, we're trying to compromise. And that's great because the ego will keep playing this game forever and a day. We'll think we're doing the right thing, but it's still coming from the wrong place. We've got to get clear. Is it coming from the truth or is it coming from the ego? And this is where most people struggle with initially, because everybody wants to hold on and think, well, there are some valuable things in life. Yes, and the things that are valuable in life actually you find have come from the truth, which has come from love, which has come from oneness. It says in the Course in Miracles, I shall not value the valueless. And the valueless is everything that we think we think and think we believe. And it's really, you know, it can be very challenging to for the ego in particular to give up and admit that it's been wrong. For us to admit that we've been wrong. It's always been the most challenging for everybody that I've worked with, including myself, because the ego takes everything personally and it feels like it's being attacked.
It goes back to that guilt pattern.
Yeah. So this does take quite a bit of getting your head around.
Because the truth is we are innocent.
Yeah.
And that's the ego is trying to prove that all along. You know, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It's always like that. It's been like that for me. And it's but we always have to compromise at some point to kind of.
That's defense. But when you're having to prove your innocence, that's a form of feeling threatened. That's to do with the attack and the defense. That's being caught up in fight or flight. That's the duality.
Yeah.
So it's very, very subtle. There's a lot going on. You know, it does take a lot of mind training.
You know, from childhood, I want to say this because this is really important, and I keep getting this, and G's given this to me too. It's a pretty important thing. He's emphasizing the importance of this in particular for whoever's listening, that we've compromised ourselves in childhood to fit in. So that's a big pattern that runs in a lot of us because, guess what? That's carried over to our, quote, adult lives. Yeah. And, you know, we're trying to get back to this place where it's authentic and we are in oneness with everything. But you can't get back there if you keep compromising yourself all the time.
Mm. Exactly. There is no compromise with the ego. Mm-hmm. It's all or nothing. It's one or the other. The ego tries to get us to compromise because as long as it keeps doing that, we're caught up in the illusion and the delusion, thinking we're doing the right things, but it doesn't feel good. It doesn't flow. It doesn't feel right. Only the truth is true and nothing but the truth is true.
You know, that's interesting because I always say that I'm an all or nothing kind of person.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm wanting, you know, I'm coming from the place where it's, you know, the love. Yeah. And, you know, I want the victory. I want the fulfillment and I want all of those things. And, you know, I know I'm putting all my eggs in that basket, you know. Mm. I'm putting all my eggs in oneness because there's nowhere else to put them.
Exactly. Ultimately.
Everything else is just not real. So.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, we're all going to meet up with God. Because it is the source. It is where we've come from and ultimately where we must merge back into because it is our nature. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just delaying tactics. And we've been delaying for a very, very long time. Delaying, denial, deceiving ourselves. And it's because we're afraid. But however, once you get it and you realize your truth, as you keep demonstrating over and over in the oneness, it is the most natural and most joyful experience. And you're wonderful your example of describing how things are when you're in oneness, the flow, the ease, the grace. We just have to keep choosing that. But initially, it takes constant choosing of that. And so then you create what you call the momentum, and then the progressive revelation and things like that, they start coming. And in the beginning, which can also be difficult, is things seem to sort of get worse before they get better. And that's another thing that puts people off as well.
Oh, I've gone through that this week, and I want to speak on this just
they
briefly.
They appear to, but that's only because things are coming up to be cleared and to be healed.
Yeah, and I want to share this before we have to wrap up, Anthony. So thank you so much for sharing that. This is huge. I've been doing the work all along, but lately I haven't felt like my usual bubbly fairy kind of self, because of all the heavy duty processing and clearing one after the other. So, and the thing about it is, where do I even begin with it? It's, okay, so I felt like I was asking GM, going, what did I fall back in consciousness or something? What happened? Because, I felt like I was doing so well and I was going along, then all of a sudden I feel like I'm like hitting bottom and I'm going, what is going, and then these patterns are coming up and I'm going, okay, I'm clearing. But it's like, it's not stopping. It's like, it's a progressive clearing. It's like where I have progressive revelation, I'm going through progressive clearing of patterns. I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. And it's like, whoa. And I'm not really feeling like, I'm going to sit and do my application and just be in oneness, because it's not happening. It's not. I'm clearing and clearing and clearing. And like, wait, hold on, because I've gotten such a great revelation though as a result of this. And it's not that I haven't been wanting to do the application. It's just that there's all this stuff that's coming up one after the other. So if anyone else is feeling the intensity of issues and things, and they're starting to see their patterns from childhood, it's like, wow, I took that on from my dad. Look at that. Oh, wow, that's mom's stuff. That's a female thing. That's, something about nurturing, or maybe something about control, or some whatever it is, there's a pattern there, and chances are we took it on, either we carried it over from a past embodiment and projected it out as a child, and then, like in my experience, I was projecting it out to all the kids in my neighborhood and they were coming after me, and I'm going, wow, what is this, crazy stuff going on? But I recognized it, umpteen years later, we recognize these things, and it's like, wow, I've been projecting this out for my whole life. Mm-hmm. And then when you clear something like that, your life instantly changes.
Yeah.
Instantly, these things, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, the people with the attitude are not showing up anymore. And this one over here who is always angry, gone, done. Yeah. I mean, it's instant though. As I'm seeing it. So the revelation G gave me on this is that, now that I see I've been making a difference with my work and myself, the revelation he blazed to me about it is that now the masters, okay, because of the work that I'm doing and the amount, the container that I have, they can blaze an even greater amount of sacred fire through me to control situations and keep them harmonious, because I have done the deep dive in my own personal file drawer clearing. And that makes me an even greater force that they can use to raise consciousness and expand harmony. And, I could hardly believe this. And now, a call I've been making actually in my application has been answered in such a way that I may become a great instrument of the sacred fire to help the earth. And so, without even realizing it, it's been happening, and I can stay calm as a lake because I no longer resist anything that comes in. Mm-hmm. And the other highlight of that is surrender is the sure ender to resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thanks for letting me get in there and share that. You've been sharing a lot about wonderful things about the mind, and I really got it. I see it very clearly. So you really painted a very clear picture, I think, for me and for everyone listening. I hope everyone was able to, you know, receive that download of that thought form that you painted, because I see it so clearly, very clearly. I see that whole elusive stuff and how, you know, the ego has set itself up and it's this illusion and it thinks it's real and it needs our energy, you know, it needs for us to invest in it to keep it alive, that it thinks it's alive, but it's really not alive. It just thinks it's alive.
Yeah, only that which comes from the source, from God, is actually has any real life, has eternal life. Everything that the ego makes is temporary. It comes and goes, and that is the hallmark of illusion. It's temporariness. Only that which is eternal will endure eternally. And that is where our consciousness, our connection with Source is. That's who we are. That's why we are one with God. When we have that realization and that revelation that we are the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness, and that everything emanates from us, then you can understand how everything in creation is part of our creation. We did it because we are it. That's how we can understand it. It comes as an awareness.
Yeah, it does.
We've
got about 2 minutes left, so I'd like to wrap up. I think Sai Baba said that, right? Love comes and grows.
Yeah,
everything else comes and goes.
Yeah, I think all we're trying to do is just get more and more clear on these principles. You know, by repeating them over and over again, eventually we'll get them.
And that's what a good application does. So no matter what you do, you can insert things from A Course in Miracles and an application too. You know, whatever you're working with, it's helpful to just put these reminders down, make a nice journal page or something that you can just pick up during the day and just, you know, be still with it and go over it. Give yourself the time, give yourself permission to sit down and be with what is during the day. You know, when you've got too much going on, it's like, stop, whoa, you know, I feel tense, whoa, I don't feel like doing that, I feel obligated, why do I feel that way, let me go sit down, because, and just be with it, because sooner or later, that pattern, you know, if you're seeking the source, it's going to reveal itself, and you'll be that much closer to freedom.
There's a song called Love is Seeking You, and
very interesting.
It always finds, love is seeking you. You are the one that you've come, that you're looking for, basically. We are the ones that we've been searching for. And the other thing is, I would recommend, if you need any more understanding, listen to the archives again.
Yes, absolutely. The archives are free. They are available usually about 24 hours after we have the show. So by this time tomorrow, it should be available. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. We are so grateful for you. Blessings and loving oneness to everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.